I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train. Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train with the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Hey, as Bill Michaels would say, how we looking, Milwaukee or Wisconsin, actually. Our show here is aired all throughout the world on the World Wide Web.
Bill's probably the only person at the station up at this hour on a Saturday. He's the hardest working guy I know. I think this is when he gets out and he rides his bike a little bit. He said he listens to the show, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I said to Bill, geez, that's a number of years ago, because he's into bass fishing, where when he had time to do some bass fishing.
Right.
And I said, you know, Bill, whenever you want to go, just give me a buzz.
Yeah.
He's got the boat. I don't anymore.
Yeah,
so.
He brings the boat. You bring
the experience and knowledge, and take him to the right place. Anyway, folks, you are listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors, where we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. with Danny Bush and myself, Tommy the True Neubauer, and Ryan Horvat as our producer. And speaking of Midwestern Shooter Supply, just want to let everybody know, we're going to remind you every week that the Midwestern Shooter Supply's 10th annual Fall Fest will be August 17th and 18th, 8 a.m. to midnight, those 2 days. All kinds of stuff going on there, you know, raffles, best prices of the year at their shop, and of course, you can buy guns, you know, on raffles that they have. They got like a rummage sale going on. They got lots of food. They got live bands. They got thousands of people out there. It's a lot of fun. It's like one of those. It's a larger than normal church bazaar. Kind of like
a larger than normal church bazaar.
Have you gone to those, Danny? The church festivals when local churches have them?
I didn't do it this year. I swing by on Capitol to St. Dominic and buy $10 by a cut, try and win a Mustang every year, and I won a goddamn thing.
Yeah, they always got that car out there.
And I think, boy, would I like to win that car. And this year I didn't get there to buy the tickets in time.
You know what I saw in front of my neighbor's house this past a couple days ago?
Moose?
A guy pulled up, somebody that knew my neighbor, okay, pulls up with an Excalibur, and the fella has two of them.
An Excalibur?
Excalibur. It's a vehicle.
Like a foreign vehicle?
Yeah, it's a very, very fancy.
Isn't there like a wax named after?
No, it's called
like
an Excalibur.
Excalibur.
It looks like an old roadster, but longer. I don't know. It's got like 16 cylinder engine or 12 cylinder engine.
So it's an old antique vehicle.
Yeah, they're old, but they still make them. I think they still make Excaliburs. I think so. But they're, when you see it, and of course it's a convertible. Got to be had the top down, and it's just you. If you saw it on the road, you go, "Wow, what is that?" You know. They're not cheap either, from what I understand.
Speaking of vehicles, you know, it's really true that old guys like to buy Corvettes. You know, the old rich guys like to get the Corvettes. I ride my bike up by the golf course up there, Negawicki Golf Course, and I was looking in the parking lot, and there's always vets, you know. Mm-hmm. These old guys golfing, you know. I guess when you're old and rich and successful, retired, you buy the Corvette.
I don't know.
Buy a hot rod.
Got no use for one.
You going to buy a Corvette soon?
No way.
No?
No, I got no use for
You'd
one.
You'd look good in a Corvette.
No. I couldn't get in and out of the damn thing.
You know.
They're too low to the ground. You got to roll into them. You wanted me to do something after 7.
Because
Joe is listening.
Ryan, can you ever
play
watch,
the X-Files?
You ever hear the X-Files where it goes, doo, doo, doo,
yeah.
doo.
I did the X-File music.
I did that beautifully, didn't I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When it was Mulder. I actually didn't know until you gave me that little.
Yeah.
Really? Good. I knew I'd kind of jar your memory there.
Yeah.
It's Ryan and Mulder and.
Mulder and Scully.
Scully.
Scully. Yeah. Is it Mulder and Scully?
Mulder and Scully, yeah.
Which one was Mulder and which was Scully?
Mulder was the guy. Yep. The Coveney.
Yeah. And Scully.
Gillian Anderson, I believe, right?
Yep. That's right. Mulder and Scully.
The Coveney's a weird dude, but I like him.
What's that?
He's a weird...
Oh, yeah, Duchovny. That's the actor, right?
Yeah.
Is he a weird dude? Is he a Scientologist like Cruz and
Travolta?
Those are weird dudes.
He's one of those guys. He's really into women, and so he claims it's an addiction kind of guy.
Yeah. What's so weird about that?
If he wasn't that way,
he'd be weird.
I think we're all that
it's
way.
The ones, it's the ones that aren't that I think are weird.
Yeah, every you know, guy is...
We don't all have to go to rehab for it. But.
Oh, he went to women rehab?
Oh.
Yeah, something like that.
Sexual rehab. Yeah.
The only guys that do that
are
the ones who get in trouble for stuff.
That's right.
Then they go,
yep.
Oh, geez, I got an addiction. I got to go to rehab.
I got a problem.
If they never got caught or in trouble, they'd be continuing on, no problem.
Right. It's like when a pro athlete gets caught doing something, it's like, okay, we know you'll be doing it again.
Well, they always say they're sorry, and what they're sorry for is that they got caught.
Exactly.
That's why they feel sorry, because they got caught.
Sounds like my mother, actually. So, okay, I'm really excited for this story, because you kind of left us on the edge.
That's why Joe couldn't sleep all week.
Oh, geez, poor Joe.
Here we go. Here's Tom Lubauer.
I'm going to make it short and sweet.
From the fishing crypt.
Now, there were two stories. I'll make them both short and sweet.
Tale one from the fishing crypt.
Yeah.
Take one.
I'm on Lake Beulah with a friend of mine. We're night fishing. We're out at night. And we're in this bay, and somebody's got a yard light on, okay? Now, when I was growing up, I used to like the old horror movies, and one of my favorite ones, scary ones, when I was a kid, was Creature from the Black Lagoon. Remember that one? Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Never saw it, but I heard about it.
Yeah, scary one. Well, anyway, so it was a man-fish-type creature, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw
it. I remember that now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, we're in this bay, and this one house behind us had some type of floodlight yard light on. So it cast a shadow unbeknownst to me. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm fishing. And I happened to look up towards the shore, which was a little ways away, and I saw this person waist deep in the water. Big person. Bigger than normal. Like, this is not normal person. This ain't a human being, you know. Bigger than normal, waist deep in the water. And I went, oh, my. And I said to my buddy, I said, hey, look at that over there. What is that? And he said to me, wave to it. Maybe it'll wave back. So like an idiot, I put my hand up, and it did wave back. It was my shadow. I thought it was a person over there. But... It was like really weird at first.
I was excited because I had a real life experience like 2 months ago.
Yeah,
you got a scary story too.
Oh, I wanted to tell it, and so I was supposed to go on with the morning guys, and then
we're gonna get it right now. Tom's story after. We got all kinds of scary stories.
All right, so this one's really weird. So I cut cable to save myself some money, and I got it's called Apple TV. So I watch my TV off DirecTV now. So rather than pay for all the sports packages like $140 a month, I just pay $10.
Okay.
So it's nice.
Shrewd.
So I like to sleep with the TV on. I have a 4-year-old son and then my wife. Unfortunately, all three of us sleep in our bed still. My 4-year-old sleeps right in the middle.
Oh, geez.
Gotcha.
It's a lot of fun going on at the Horvath house.
I suppose.
But
No more brother or sister coming down the pipeline. Anymore.
One night. That's actually a good thing. One night, I work in radio. So one night, I left the TV on. We all fall asleep. And I wake up and we put like Seinfeld on or something to fall asleep to or The Office, you know. And I wake up and there's like a church song going on. And I swear to God that this is a true story. And my wife could even vouch for this. If she's awake, I'll have her call in. And it's like, sleep peacefully, and like these weird lyrics. And I'm like coming to a little bit, you know, and I'm like, is this a dream, you know, and I'm looking around, and it's not a dream. I'm pinching myself, literally. So I look over to my wife to be like, what the hell is going on, you know, and she is singing the words to the song.
Like, Your wife is mouthing it?
She's mouthing the words out to this song, like, rest peacefully, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, maybe, like, this is a song on her Apple Music or something, and she put it on to help fall asleep. And so I wake her up, but she's not, like, fully awake. So I'm like, Amanda, Amanda. And I startle her, and she, like, jumps, like, 50 feet in the air. She's like, what are you doing, you know? And I said, did you turn this on? What is this song? And she goes, no, I've never heard this song in my life. So we're like, what is this? Because then the lyrics are, like, kind of creepy. It's about, like I said, resting peacefully. So you'd... To get rid of it.
So
like,
it's coming over the TV. Is there anything on the screen of the TV?
No, it's a blank screen. So I'm trying
The Ruskies are spying on you. You've been hacked.
I'm trying to turn it off. You know, I'm hitting the off button, and it's not going off. And then I hit the button. I close all of my apps.
Right.
You could close anything that's up. So there was a couple things that were open that my kid was playing on and whatnot. Everything is closed on it, and the music is still going and, like, getting louder and louder. So we both freak out. We end up unplugging the whole television, and finally it shuts off. And for like 3 straight weeks, when one of us would wake up to go to the bathroom, we would be like, you got to come with me. Even me, man. And I love horror movies. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I'm always like, junk. I don't believe in you.
So something was singing. Have you looked up that song to see if you could find it anywhere?
We were trying to like remember the exact words, and we couldn't. And so then what's even crazier is so then I'm really freaking out, you know, scared. I told everybody at the radio station
this
about
like
it.
It's like Amityville Horror or something. Wasn't weird stuff going on with their
Poltergeist with the TV?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I kept thinking. And all I could think about when I think of that movie is that stupid clown under the bed too.
Right.
So I called the DirecTV and AT&T and they're like, we've never heard of that ever. They're like, you know what, maybe somebody in your building, because I live in an apartment, you were on their Wi-Fi or something. Nope, because we have it locked, like protected, so that can't happen. I pay extra. So I really have no idea what happened there, but yeah.
How long have you lived in this house?
For a couple months.
Did you check the history? Did anybody die in this house?
I tried to check the history. Actually, this might be my wife. Let me take this phone.
Yeah, this might be.
All right, we got
a call on the hotline, which is... rare that somebody calls
the
hotline.
When we get a call on the hotline, it's either the president
or Poltergeist.
Or yeah.
Well, you know,
I got kind of creeped out with that story right there.
Speaking about, I've got a true one where I was visited by my grandmother. I'll tell it after the break, though. But I mean, without a doubt, my
Joel,
wife will tell me.
I want you to squeeze your teddy bear real tight, buddy.
This one is totally real, totally weird. I mean, and it really happened. My wife can back me up on this. This was a strange one, but we'll have to wait till after the break. And we're going to see, is that your wife calling? No? The Bill Michaels.
No, unfortunately, it's some technical guys for the next show. They're going to be on a remote, so it wasn't.
Okay.
But I thought it might be her. But yeah, so I don't know what the heck happened there. But
That is, yeah. And what are the lyrics of it again?
It was like rest peacefully, and it was a woman singing like in the most peaceful. It was like church
peacefully.
Music. Yeah. Like, have you ever heard the song like Eagle's Wings?
Yeah. It was like that.
Kind of reminded me of that a little bit.
So you can't find 799-1250. If anybody knows what song that may have been.
Or if anybody has like a similar story.
100,000 listeners listening to us right now.
Yeah,
someone has to know this song. Yeah.
When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you something that really happened, really true. It will raise the hair on your arms. Apples. I thought we were just going to tell a few fishing weird stories, but this one is a real one.
We're on one of our tangents
Tell you when we come
stay
back.
Tuned.
So stay tuned for more with Danny Bush, me, Tom.
Let me gear up and put on my headphones.
Yeah, there you go. Do your radio business there, Danny. Yeah.
Are we hot?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 is the number. And as usual, the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, all hunting, all fishing, all scary ghost stories, all the time. You know, Tom, you know what? What other show would they rather be listening to on a Saturday? Do they want to hear someone talk about their 401k? Right?
Well, I think this is a really wise investment right
now. Boring Saturday morning radio, yeah. But not us.
Not us.
Not you. Well, not this guy.
We'll take this phone call first.
It's what our buddy got? Dennis up north.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Dennis Royce, Boulder okay. Junction
Maybe we'll
connection.
Get a little fishing in here.
With, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good Doing morning, good. Dennis. Haven't talked to you in a while.
I know it. Neil was just up here, one of the contest winners with his wife, and they had a good time up here this last weekend. And he says, "Hey, you got to call the radio show. They want you to call in." So
yeah, because he called us this morning.
He got a 5 pound. He said he got a 20-inch 5 pound smallie, so that's pretty good.
He didn't get it.
His wife did. Yeah.
Did he say his wife got it?
Yeah, his wife did.
Oh.
So what's it like up there in God's country?
What's the up north report?
The up north report is fantastic. Fishing has been very good. Walleye action has been excellent, and muskie action. I know they're getting a lot of fish right now, and they're enjoying good muskie action. In fact, we were fishing for walleyes a week ago, and I told Pete, the guy in the boat with me, I said, "Hey, we're going to need a net for this walleye." And he said, "Wait till you see what's behind it." And we brought this fish up alongside the boat, and it was a big muskie. I'm going to say at least 45 inches, but it's hard to tell in the water. But a real fat fish. And I figurated the walleye at least twice.
You figurated the walleye.
I figurated the walleye at least twice, and the muskie followed it. But there was three of us in a boat, and we're all standing up watching this. And I think we spooked the fish, and it took off. But the walleye probably was saying to itself, "Get me the hell out of this water."
Right, right.
Wow.
But water temperature is 77 to 80 degrees last week, and it's cooled down a little bit. But bass action has been excellent, small and largemouth bass. And walleye's been good. And we're still getting walleyes in 7 to 8 to 12 feet of water. It's off of weed beds or weed mm-hmm. edges. So, and walleye action has been pretty good. But if you guys go out fishing or if anybody comes up here, take ice and put it in your live well so you keep the fish cold. So.
That's a good idea.
Weather's been dry. We finally got some rain yesterday, about an inch of rain. It was a good soaker, and it's supposed to clear up now, and we'll have another nice week coming up here. So if somebody wants to come up fishing or bike riding or whatever, there's lots to do up here.
All righty.
Hey, Dennis,
sounds great.
Dennis, we were talking on the show last week about fishing at night for walleyes and stuff. How is that? Anybody do that up there?
They do. Not as much as they used to. They would drag lures off the rock bars at night, just troll them easy or roll troll-like, and the fish come up on the rock bars to eat, of course, and, of course, they'll get these surface baits. We used to use lighted bobbers. I forget what you call them, but you throw them out there with a chub or a red tail or something and let them swim around. And that was always pretty good action. But at night, the mosquitoes are out now. You gotta endure a few more things of the activity out in the water. You have to worry about some of the bugs and things.
Yeah, but you can catch them during the day, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Luckily, we can catch them during the day. So.
Yeah.
So it's a young man's thing to go out there at night.
Yeah, it is. And it's late at night, and by the time you get in, clean the fish, and eat something, it's a long day. But when you're younger, I guess you can go out night and fish. And then when you're up here on vacation, if you're up here for fishing, that's what you want to do anyway.
Gotcha. So,
yeah. All right, so. Dennis. Well, thanks for calling us.
Thanks for the report, buddy.
We'll keep in touch with you guys. Have a good one.
Okay, right, you too, Dennis. Okay, bye now. All right. I got this story for you.
Okay, here we go.
Here
Hit
comes
the music.
The X-Files. You still got the X-Files
he's
up?
He's got it. Ryan's got everything under control.
Yeah, he does? Okay.
He's a little shook up from telling us his weird singing woman on his coming. Some weird woman singing from his TV.
I can't even watch horror movies anymore. It's my favorite genre. And like a good one came out, a really good one in the theater, but it looks pretty intense. And I can't even go see it now, man.
Turn
it
down just a little bit.
Okay. Take it away, Tom.
Speaking of something that's really spooky, did you see the movie It by Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. Both
now,
of them.
The best part of the whole movie, the scariest part, is in the beginning when that clown, Pennywise, is in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weirdest part of that whole movie.
The first part of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you see the new one?
Yeah, that's the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about that. That was like, geez, I don't want to watch her anymore. But the rest of the movie was like downhill from that.
It's kind of like a comedy almost.
It is kind
of. It's like a coming-of-age tale.
But that clown, Pennywise, in the sewer, right in the beginning of your movie, that'll freak you out.
I hate clowns in sewers.
Okay, here we go.
Go.
I was newly married a couple years. My wife and I are sleeping in bed. The bathroom was just outside the bedroom door. And in the middle of the night, I wake up hearing, shh, shh, shh. I wake up and I say to my wife, I wake her up. I said, did you hear that? She said, no, go to sleep. You're dreaming. A little while later, I hear, shh, shh, shh. I wake her up. Did you hear that? No, quit bothering me. You know, slaps me one. Quit bothering me. Just a couple minutes later, shh, shh. And I said, yes, I heard that, she said. She says, it must be from outside. I said, I don't think so. So now we're both laying there with our eyes open.
Listening for it.
And we hear it again. Shh.
Just like someone going, shh.
No, it sounds like, and this is really weird. This is one of the things I remember from my grandmother. She would wear these slippers, and when she'd walk, she'd slide her feet. Shh, shh. You know, her feet
really?
Would slide.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that about my grandmother. So I said, well, it sounds like it's coming from the kitchen, you know, and then we hear it again. Shh, shh, shh. And I said, come on, let's go look. So the bathroom, like I said, is right. Bathroom door is just outside the bedroom door. So I put my wife in front of me. I say, go turn on the bathroom light. I swear to God, I get her in front of me. Go. She says, no, you go turn it. I said, no, you go. She had more guts than me. Yeah. So she turns on the bathroom light. Right?
Yeah.
And we're looking around, and we don't hear anything now, and we're looking around, and we go in the kitchen, we turn on the kitchen light, and there on the floor, and my wife is a meticulous housekeeper, okay?
Right.
She still is.
Right.
There's sand.
What?
And there's sand on the kitchen floor.
Oh, my God.
And just what you would hear if somebody were in slippers sliding their feet over the sand here. And I said, did you put that there? And she said, no, you must have done that when you were hunting or whatever, because I used to hunt a lot.
Come in with it on your boots.
Yeah, and I said, no, I didn't go hunting today. It's during the week. You know, she swept the floor. And there was nothing on the floor when we went to bed. And there was sand.
The hackles
are coming up
on my neck.
Yeah, not so much. It was like a sand dirt mix, like, you know, kind of like that you would find in a graveyard. And then
that morning...
I'm going to work. I worked at Bucyrus-Siri in South Milwaukee. I'm going down Appleton Avenue, just past, there's a cemetery there that you got to drive by. Now, I've driven by this cemetery for years, right? And there's a couple of gates there, but they're never open. Nobody has gates open on the side of Appleton Avenue on a cemetery.
No.
They're like grown over with weeds and that. As I'm going by, guess what? The gate is open. Guess where my grandma's buried? In that cemetery. And the gate's wide open. That was weird. And I had to call my wife right away. No, I didn't call. I called her when I got to work because we didn't have cell phones then. Like, when I got to work, I had to call her.
You sent her a smoke signal?
It was very eerie. And a weird thing is, I'm talking to my mom, telling her about it, like the next day.
Yeah.
She says, your brother Larry got home from a night out or whatever, and sitting on the edge, he woke up, and sitting on the edge of his bed was our grandma from my dad's side of the family. She's sitting on the end of his bed wearing a black outfit with a black veil, and he thought, well, I'm still drunk. You know, I'm still.
One of the good things about drinking is when weird stuff like that happens,
you can just
rationalize it away where you're not scared because you're still messed up.
So he says, I must still be drunk. This ain't real. And he sticks out his hand to touch her on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And his hand like goes into the shoulder, like, but there's nothing there. So he kind of like closes his eyes, shakes his head, turns away, gets up, goes to the bathroom, puts water on his face, whatever, comes back, there's nothing there. But his hand, his left hand that he stuck out and put in his shoulder, is ice cold. He goes to my mom the next day to tell her.
Did this happen the same night
it
that
was,
you heard
it was, yeah, it must have been. It must have been the same night. And because it was the next day, I talked to my mom, and he had seen her earlier than when I came over to see her. And sure, she said he came over. He said, "Mom, feel my two hands." And the one hand was really cold. She says, "What? Why is that hand so cold?" And then he told her the story. And it stayed like that for the rest of the day, and then eventually it went away.
Holy
I don't know.
Holy cow.
I don't know. It's like weird.
Grandma was out in visiting.
She's, tooling around the earth doing something. But anyway.
Oh my God.
We come back, Danny, we got to get back to fishing. I want to talk about buzz baits. I got a tip.
They kind of like the ghost stories, Tom.
Yeah, I know. I got a tip that will guarantee you more fish on buzz baits. Guaranteed. And buzz baits are good to use at times, you know. You now got to know what lures to use, when and where and whatever, but there's a tip on how you can catch more fish on buzzbaits. Actually, two tips, so we'll tell the audience about that when we get back.
I got a shadow story, though, I
got
to tell.
And then he's got
a
shadow story.
It involves deer hunting, though.
Okay, there we go. Right. We'll be right back with more, folks, on the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 is the phone number. We'll be right back with more. This is a good one. Yeah, this is a good one. I was driving.
This is one of my favorite Petty songs.
Yeah. Me and Del were singing Little Runaway. I was flying. You gotta turn on your mic. Your mic ain't on.
Yes, it is.
No, now it is.
It was on.
No, it wasn't.
But no, I don't turn the mic on. Ryan does that.
Oh, I turn my mic on. I turn mine on. See, when it's on red, that means it's on. When it's on yellow,
that's because you're a control freak.
Or when it's off,
I just let Ryan run everything for me, right, Ryan?
Right.
He usually turns it on right away when the music starts. And
I let you know, though. I say Mike's on.
Yeah, Mike's on.
Mike's on.
And then if you see the little red light, it's on.
You got to do that in this
Mike's
building.
On. So nobody Mike's says hot. Anything stupid.
One time I
gets in trouble for it 7 years later.
I told Bill Michaels Mike's on one time with my mic on.
Yeah.
So I was like, Mike's on, and went over air, and we just stared at each other and kind of laughed.
Well, anyway, you want to catch more fish with buzzbait? This is easy. Number one, if you're using a standard buzzbait that's got a skirt, put a trailer hook on it. The trailer hook, what is that? That's just another hook with a larger eye that fits over the main hook of the buzzbait. And then you got to put a little stopper on there so it doesn't fall off, a little piece of rubber band or something. But putting a trailer hook on a buzzbait will ensure that you'll catch more fish, because you'll catch a number of those fish just on that trailer
hook.
Don't
they sell like little shrink wrap type thing, little black stuff
that
you can put?
You don't want to use that.
No?
You don't want the trailer hook stuck in one position, because it could be off to the side. You want a free-flowing trailer hook. Free-flowing.
So
it'll always be behind the bait then, instead of off to one side or the other.
You're saying a rubber band or something?
Or if you just cut a little piece off of a thick rubber band and just stick that
over on there.
And just put it on the main hook.
I used to do that for suckers.
Right, yeah, so that the main hook doesn't fall
off. I use a little piece of rubber once I
trailer hook.
Put the hook into the sucker.
Yeah.
I push that through,
exactly.
And that would keep it from coming back and out.
Exactly, that's all you got to do. And then the other thing is taking off that skirt, okay, because all buzzbaits come with some type of skirt. And putting on one of those, you've seen them, they're plastic frogs. They like imitate frogs, but there's no hooks in them or anything. It's just a big plastic frog and the tail's got like, you know, like a paddle tail that's on some of the swim baits. You know, you got that paddle tail on the back. Well, the two legs come out to like a paddle tail. So it's a frog, a plastic frog with two paddle tail legs. And that puts up a you know, it looks different in the water.
So you put
it looks
that on the back of your buzz bait.
Yeah, instead of the skirt. You take the skirt off, put the frog on. But the main thing, no matter what buzz bait you're using, whether it's got a frog on the back, a paddle tail on the back, or a skirt on the back, you got to put a trailer hook on the back. Got to have that trailer. Just like with spinner baits, got to have that trailer hook.
And one of the top tips that you gave as far as fishing with frogs is bend the hooks out.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Because you still want it to be weedless.
Still
but if the hooks are turned upward anyway, that's pretty much over the top of the weeds.
Yes,
unless you're in a lot of grass.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and most anglers will tell you when they're using frogs, they catch maybe one or two out of every 10 hits, you know, because one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're fishing the slop, and especially using a topwater bait like a frog in the slop, as soon as that fish hits, they're setting the hook.
Yeah.
You don't set the hook until the line tightens. And it, sometimes it takes 2 seconds. You know, I mean, you got to feel the fish first, because a lot of times they bust on that frog and they miss it. But they'll eventually grab it. You know, or they grab it, they got it by the leg, and now they need another chomp to get it in their mouth.
I have heard that when there's a bait, a lure, or a little animal critter on top of the water, that due to the positioning of the eyes on either side of a fish's head, that when they open their mouth to come on up and grab it, there's a blind spot.
Especially true with muskies and pike.
So they got to make sure they got really good lock.
Yep.
Because if not, they miss it.
Yep. And that's why muskies miss so many baits sometimes, you know. They'll pop on or pike too, but especially muskies, like on a topwater bait or something, you know. And there's a big bam, you know, and the bait goes flying. You know, they missed it. It is like, God darn it, they missed it. Darn it. How can they miss it? They can miss it real easily.
Kind of like back in my drinking days when I'd pick up the Chinese food to go and I'd have the little plastic fork full of rice. And when I'd go to open my mouth, all of a sudden I'd miss it.
And it's on your shirt.
In the chest hairs and on the couch, in between the cushions. But I'd eventually vacuum it out about a year later.
Yeah. But fish can miss baits, yeah, without a doubt. Even though they're very fast and very quick and you can't out-reel a fish, you know, you can't reel so fast that they can't get it. But, oh, another tip with buzzbaits is you don't have, you know, the term buzzbait implies that you're really buzzing it in fast. No. You reel it fast enough so it stays on top of the water, making that buzzing action, you know, with the blade. Just fast enough so it's staying on top. You don't want to go real fast with it. Just fast enough so it's staying on top. Basically, you're just making it easier for the fish to grab it.
Gotcha.
And by using a buzzbait, yeah, you're going to catch bass with it, but pike hit them, muskies hit them, you know. And I'm sure if a walleye was given a chance, it would hit one too.
Moving from inland fishing, Salmonorama is going on right now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it wraps up tomorrow, I think.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. And if my internet were working, they normally have an ongoing online. You can look at the leaderboard and see what's going on, but my internet hasn't been working. But I'm just curious to see what size. They normally get some big trout, huge trout.
Yeah, and this
huge
year.
Huge salmon. They got different divisions. They used to give a truck away, but now they don't do that anymore, I think.
And this year, we're talking about, a lot of guys are talking about catching some really big king salmon.
Yeah, they're getting 30-pounders again.
Yeah.
Out there on the big pond. And we talked to Captain Jason of Real Sensations. Mm-hmm. We talked to Sean Gillis of Fish Addictions. Mm-hmm. And, so a lot of good fishing going on. Reports from up north, the east side of Green Bay. Walleye fishermen going out from fishing out of Suamico and up the Bay Area. Most of the reports that I read per the DNR website is boats are reporting catching maybe 2-3 some walleye. Doesn't sound real great. Doing better up the west, or excuse me, that was the west shore. Doing better up the east shore towards Shooter's Dock.
Mm-hmm.
There I heard about, you know, maybe people getting a half dozen walleyes.
Mm-hmm.
Sturgeon Bay. By the quarry, I believe, there was still some decent smallies being caught.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, I was talking, I was over at Smokey's Musky Bait and Tackle Shop on beautiful Pewaukee Lake, and there was a guy telling Mark Sankey and me about he was fishing on the west side off of what launch area. Anyway, and he says, yeah, and he caught a 48-inch musky, and I said, oh, that's a darn nice fish. He said, well, up there in the Bay of Green Bay, it's like, it's okay. You know, because you're expecting those 52s and 54s, you know. So he says, yeah, down here, 48-incher is a darn nice fish. But on the Bay, yeah, it's a good one. It's all right. You know, it was like it wasn't a big deal to him, you know. A
lot of big fish. In fact, I think it was Mark that I was talking to, and he spent a couple days up there fishing. I guess he had one follow.
Yeah, he had a tough time.
I mean, it's a lot of big fish there, but right place, right time. And you got to be, if you live up there and you're like those guides up there that they're out there every day putting the time in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I figure in 2 years, that's my plan. Yeah. I'm going to head to the Bay of Green Bay and I'll be retired and go up there and hit it hard.
Well, that is a big body of water. So it takes a little time when
you're trolling. Our friend Dennis Radloff had it broke down. He gave us good advice years ago. He says, don't get intimidated. Break it down just like you would a smaller lake and look what spots you think might be good.
Yeah. He was excellent up there. And, there's still people who would love to hire him to learn it better, but Dennis doesn't do that anymore. So
yeah, maybe he'll come out of retirement. He talked about fishing with me up there sometime. Yeah. So maybe someday we'll actually make that happen. A couple things going on here as well. If you go to the DNR website and go to Google the DNR website and search and type in Get Outdoors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of family-friendly activities that they have going on all over the place. For example, I believe today, Devil's Lake, they got some dance to the big band going on. They've got Shakespeare in the Park that's going on Lake Caganza Sunday. They got some kind of... So there's all kinds of activities at our local parks and so forth, or state parks.
Mm-hmm.
And great activities going on. So if I had a family, it'd be no problem finding something to do other than just hunting and fishing.
Yeah, we'll go check out a little bit of that Shakespeare
in the Park. Hey, maybe we can get a part in that, Tom.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I don't know, you can be a fairy.
Thanks a lot.
Wasn't Shakespeare big on fairies?
Yeah, well, a lot of people died in his plays. A lot of people died. There was people dropping off every second. My favorite one was, I can't remember the name of it. It was where the term "a pound of flesh" came into play. Merchant of Venice.
The only one I remember, Midsummer Night's
Dream.
Dream.
Yeah. In The Merchant of Venice, this guy, he made
Which
a
one
bet.
Which one was the one with ghosts?
Hey, he made a bet with another guy, and he said, and if you don't, if this doesn't work, you owe me a pound of your flesh. And the guy went, yeah, right, whatever. Okay, fine, we'll make this bet. Well, when it came time to pay up, the guy who said, okay, I want it. Want what? A pound of your flesh. Here's a knife. Cut some off. I want a pound of your flesh.
This show's getting creepier and creepier all the time. I think we got to go to break.
Let's go to a break.
Oh, I got a shadow creepy story when we come back.
Okay, and we'll give you a pound of flesh when you come back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. What do you got, Tom?
We got one last email before I shut it down.
Shut her down.
This is from Ron, our advertising manager. He says, hi, guys. Heading home from Lake of the Woods Saturday morning. Muskie fishing was decent. Partner and I have 13 muskies up to 51 inches. Most were in the mid-40s. The pike are crazy. We probably caught 30 pike, mostly 30 to 40 inches. Talk later. So Ron will give us a full report when he gets back into town. So anyway, good for him. Now, Janny, you got a story?
Yeah. You're talking about how you saw that shadow in the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost. Okay. Years ago, I went up deer hunting with a guy who he used to drink a lot. Way too much, in fact. Anyway, we were up in his place up north there, and he went out into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a home, but it was in the country, in prime deer country. And he's in the garage, and he yells, Dan, come on out. And I run on out, and he's staring out the back garage window. And the light's on in the garage, and he goes, there's a deer outside. He said, there's two of them now. So I'm staring and staring and staring. And then I'm thinking, what in the world is he talking about? So I moved my head to the left a little bit, and I said, did one just move? He goes, yeah. I said, Pat, you are looking at shadows of our heads. And he just turned and looked at me and goes, oh. I said, have another beer, buddy. Yeah. And I walked back in the house.
Those shadows can fool you sometimes.
He's looking at the shadow of his head.
Hey, you know, we
almost put my fingers up behind my head.
Oh, yeah, you should have.
Look, it's a buck. I could have got him to grab a rifle. He probably would have sent a round right into his shadow.
We had a call earlier. Ryan said the guy couldn't stay on the line because he had to get into work, but he wanted to know the difference between bass rods and walleye rods. There is bass rods will catch walleyes. Walleye rods will catch bass. They just come in different actions for what you're throwing and what type of line you're using. You know?
One thing for sure, fishing rods will catch fish. Now
he's a genius, eh? That's why he's on the show, Ryan.
Now here's the thing. Nowadays, rods have, and he asks a good question. Rods have gotten a lot more
sophisticated.
Sophisticated. That's a good word, Tom. Thanks. Okay. They've got fast action. They've got extra fast. There's then there's medium, heavy, all ranked. If you go online, Fenwick, I like to go to their website. They've got a series of rods listed by species. And the only one it looks like Fenwick's getting out of now is the musky rods. Last time I was on their website, maybe there's not the money in the big heavy rods. But I do use a two-piece walleye rod for smallmouth fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as fast action as a bass. Actually, I got a bass specific Fenwick rod, which I use as a jerkbait rod.
Mm-hmm.
But it still works. It still works pretty good.
What my so-called walleye rod I use for like Kelly worms and the worm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I use like 8 pound test on it and I want to cast it a little further, you know? So, I mean, but, and it's a faster action tip, get a little bit more whip, gets it out a little further. But really, you know, if you get a let's say a medium light bass rod, that can be used for walleye fishing. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I like to use a little bit heavier rod from bass fishing, though.
I guess you know? Would you recommend maybe, especially like you want the sensitivity. So graphite, you got a lot better feel.
Oh, yeah.
And with the braid now, you got a lot better feel.
Yeah.
Than the old fiberglass and mono whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking probably something medium. If you got like a medium action rod, fast action rod, maybe.
And that means the tip. The tip is a fast action.
Graphite rod, about 7 foot long.
It'll work.
You could work for both bass and walleyes. You'd probably have some all you need.
Yeah, you get them all. As a matter of fact, even medium light actions that take up to, let's say, 10 or 12 pound test, or let's say up to 10, you can use that for bass and walleye. But the medium actions usually can use a little bit heavier line, you know, and I'll use a little bit heavier line, like a stiffer rod if I'm throwing spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, something, jigging pigs or plastic worms. Yeah, I'm using a little bit heavier rod for that.
The trend in all rods, I guess maybe you'd agree, Tom, has been to go towards longer rods.
A lot of people are doing that, yeah.
Started with the musky world. I mean, you got people going with tiger shark rods.
Oops. Well, we've always used, what do you call it, six and a half foot, 7 foot rods for bass. Those have, and for walleye. Those have always been around.
I've even heard, like, if you're fishing on a real clear, like the Bay of Green Bay, and you're throwing grubs or tubes or stuff for bass, smallmouth up there in that crystal clear water, that you want to launch long casts to not spook them. Yeah. Even longer, 7.5 foot rods, I think, recommended. So even longer and longer rods have, you know, seem to be kind of in style.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you can't catch fish on a shorter rod. I mean, I remember years ago, the pistol grip handles, you don't see those around, except for like little push button rods and reels, you know, the push button spin cast reels. Pistol grip handles years ago were a big thing. A 5.5 foot rod with a pistol grip handle, those things were hard to use.
Pistol grip, you mean with the thing underneath?
Yeah, it had, well, like, for bait it only had a little, for bait casters, and it only had a small handle that your hand could just fit around. I mean, the longer two-handed handles, straight handles, those are much easier to use.
Oh, I see what
you're
saying. The
pistol grip only had a handle about 4 inches.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, my dad had one, a little, he had a metal rod. It was like an old steel kind of a rod.
Well, I had some St. Croix that had the little pistol grip handle that was only, like, the handle was only like 4 inches long.
Do you remember the old rods that some of them would come apart right at the at the grip?
Yep.
Well, the Schwarzenegger, I told you I got that Schwarzenegger heavy-duty rod from Sweden.
That Schwarzenegger.
It's a real cool big black heavy-duty rod. I went out and chucked some Pounder Bulldogs with it. Works good. And it breaks down. It's a two-piece, but it breaks down by the handle.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't break down in the middle. Yeah. Most of the two-piece rods break down in the middle. The Schwarzenegger breaks down at the handle. I'd recommend that rod. You can go to their website if you're looking for a big, heavy-duty rod at a reasonable price.
You know, I was told, I still have this old musky rod at home. You got to give us some signs because I don't have a clock yet.
One.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you about it next week about some of these old musky rods.
Now, next week, we will continue with our ghost series stories.
Please, no.
I've got another ghost story. I've got two ghost stories, to tell you next week. So, strap on your boots, strap on your chin strap, soldiers.
This isn't just the Midwestern Shooters Place Cutting Edge Outdoors. This is west of the
Mississippi. Ready to be a scared.
This is east of the Mississippi.
Very, very a scared. That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
Are we done? You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. Talk to you all next week, my friends.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.